Welcome back! Another episode!
We're so excited today. This is our take two with Miss London because we had a lot of technical difficulties, as we have been having this season. We say that every episode. But we're so excited to hear from her about her experience at the COP conference. So if you want to just start out with like a little intro, like name, major, where you're from, that kind of good stuff.
Yeah, my name is London Johnson, and I'm an integrated marketing communications and political science double major. I'm a junior this year, and I went to COP28. It was in Dubai this year, and it was really exciting.
That is so cool. What made you want to go to COP? I mean, other than it being an amazing experience, obviously.
Yeah, so quite honestly, I went to the DC program for spring semester 2023. And our director of the program just like sent out a link to all of the alumni of the program like 4 days before the application was due. And was like, this would be an amazing experience. Like, you guys should apply. And so I don't know really what came over me. I was like, this would be so interesting. So like I applied and I got it. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to COP. But I'd always been interested in like the international relations aspect. I've taken a class of IR. I took a class in IR while I was in the DC program, and it was really interesting. So getting to be there firsthand, I think, kind of made me want to apply.
Okay.
So in the very beginning, you're in meeting rooms with just like the COP president, and he's talking about like what his goals are for this session, and people are doing things. The specific delegates for the individual countries are saying, like, we got funding for certain projects within the agreement for this year. So we did some of that. But the part that I really got to be in and like speak in were the smaller meetings. So people from different constituencies got to say what they were advocating for. Like, if you wanted more funding to go towards the least developed countries, like, you got time to speak with people that were also interested in that. And so that was the most important part. The people that are stakeholders, not in a necessarily like quote unquote big way, like they aren't leaders in their country, but they're like people like me and the people that I went with, like college students that will have stake in the future of like the country of the globe. That was the really important part, I feel like.
Wow. Was there anything there that kind of shocked you to see like not what you expected when going into COP?
How open, like we got badges. Like, we're in college, and so you got a badge to go into this conference, and you don't expect that you're going to actually like be able to speak really in front of all of these people. But I was in a meeting room, and there were delegates from the United States, and they're like sitting there, and somebody was like, do you want a mic? Like, do you want to speak?
And
I was like, I'll sit here. I don't know if I'm going to actually say anything. But like, yeah, I'll sit in front of the mic. Like, yeah. And it was perfectly acceptable for me to like want to speak and say something. I was like, oh, wow.
That is so awesome. That's really cool. Yeah. I think that just shows how much progress the world is making towards younger people being able to have a voice. And just because you're in college doesn't mean that you don't know anything or you're not educated on issues that are, you know, current day.
That's why I feel like the COP is so important to have like young people in, because there's no necessarily like financial obstacles to get people to go to COP. Like, there's a long application process. So that's part of why I started my club on campus, to try to get college students to be able to go to more COPs. Like, there was a school, Harvard, I think it was. It was either Harvard or Stanford. And they had people that got to go every year, because COP, like, is one of the few places where you don't have to pay to go. There's like no necessary like nepotism to be able to like get you in the doorway. Like, you have to be approved and then you can go. Like, you can go and have like everybody hear what you have to say. You can meet like minded people, things like that. And so I think it's really important.
That's awesome. And I think too, especially with like the whole subject of climate change and everything involved, it's like having young people in the conversation and not just like, yeah, like we'll wait like to let them deal with it till later. It's like actually having young people who like we're gonna be taking on, you know, most of those, all of those burdens. And so, so cool that they're open to that and letting people kind of in on that conversation at this point, and not being like, okay, well, you're not, you know, like old enough yet, or, you know, you don't have the job title for this yet.
I think it's a good segue, like, for one generation to take over the issues of the past generation, whatever they've left over. Yeah. So that's super cool.
Yeah.
Was there a specific agreement that was made that really stuck out to you and that you wanted to just, even back in Malibu, like, push on further?
I went to a lot of each kind of like group. Everybody that's focused on a certain idea has a like a tent or like a booth. So there's a tent on women and gender, and then there's a tent for like the major island nations. And I think with us in Malibu being so close to the water, there's a saying that they use. It's like 1.5 to stay alive. They talk about 1.5 degrees Celsius is as much as the Earth can get warmer without, like, it's the point of no return. Like, everything's going to go.
And so for us being in Malibu,
that really, like, resonated with me. Like, we've seen such unusual weather this semester, this year. Like, when we first got here in August, there was, like, a hurricane. Like, when do you hear of that in Malibu, right?
Literally. Yeah.
So that was really something that resonated with me. The actual agreement we came to in COP, I don't think anything really stuck out to me in terms of things that would affect us in Malibu specifically, though.
Mm-hmm. Totally. And then as far as just kind of some of your favorite experiences that you had there, or people that stuck out to you, or when you think of your experience at COP, it's like you think of these things.
I think the Women in Gender tent, I got to listen to a panel of women from all different places, especially like the least developed nations, which is like the language they use instead of like first world, because it's kind of like playing out. and they were talking about the correlation between women and how they are affected a bit more harshly by the impacts of climate change. Like, they're the ones that are most likely going to be in the house with the water that's unclean and things like that. So that's something that really stuck out to me. And being able to talk to these women, I think it's something I wouldn't have been able to do or wouldn't have even really thought to do or seek out when talking about climate change. Talking about veganism, actually, like in your food choices, I think in LA, we really think of it as like a kind of a fad. Like, oh yeah, everyone is like plant-based. But like, but like really the impacts of eating meat, like even the first day I was there, and this is like kind of embarrassing to say, but when I like went to the COP, like I wasn't vegan. Like I really didn't think about it too much. Like my family had like cut out meat just because like health, like cholesterol is like not super great for you. But really like the carbon footprint you put forward eating meat and like the amounts that we consume it. Like I'm from Texas, I'm from Dallas. And like barbecues, like it's a big so staple, right? But it actually like really makes an impact. And I think conceptualizing that, like you might know it in the back of your head, but like people, like large groups of people like just consuming so much, and there's so many like great alternatives. Like you can eat jackfruit, like these so many things that could subsidize it. It's fine.
Yeah, I think that's so interesting what you said about the women and gender tent, because I think it was Dr. Bagulis was talking about it last semester.
Love her.
But no, really the best. Shout out.
We talk about it all the time.
But even just like the, I can't remember the major, but like the major here at Pepperdine that deals with like environmentalism is majority women. So not only is it majority
sustainability?
Women, sustainability. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But so not only is majority of women going to be affected by it, but we're also like the main people who care about it. And I just think that's so interesting how it's like, we need to get a platform to save the world. Bottom line, like that's what we need to do. And it's so hard to do. But.
100%. My question was kind of in relation to what you're talking about with veganism. And I think there's a big question out there when it comes to like sustainability and that whole topic of like, does one person in their decision like actually affect any change? Because I know that there's sort of this like, some people are like, well, you know, I don't know if like if I recycle and if I compost or if I go vegan, it's not going to do anything in the long run. So why would I do it? And then some people are like, no, if everybody thought that way, nobody's going to do anything. So you have to have, you know, I know there's that conversation. So how do you feel about like in the conversation of like veganism, do you think after coming back from the conference, like would that be something that you kind of push of like, yes, everybody do their part? Or how do you feel about it?
I think the bigger long-term change is definitely going to come from large companies and large nations like making legislation against their waste and against their like carbon emissions, and I'm not like oblivious to that. I know that, but I do think that if everyone thought that way, like we talk about it on the opposite side, like if everybody takes a handful of sand from the beach, like if all the tourists, like Hawaii is going to disappear type of thing. But on the flip side, I think if everyone like commits to being vegan, if everyone commits to like limiting their carbon emissions, commits to recycling, recycling in some places, like, I don't know if it actually happens the way they say it, right? But that's up for debate. But I truly believe the power of, like, word of mouth, like, you committing to be vegan and then telling your friends, and then your friends become vegan. Like, it's just a really trickling effect. Like, content creators, like, you think that one person, no effect on anything, but then all of a sudden the Sephora lipstick that they said to buy is, like, sold out.
And
all
so true.
Always happens.
Yeah, so I think, really, word of mouth is so powerful, and one person, like, truly can make a change. Like, it's not like a bumper sticker or something, but, like, truly.
Yeah, that's so cool. And then were there other areas of the conference where you kind of saw that same theme, or was it more focused on kind of, like, these big, like, institutional changes?
I think food and agriculture is one place where I saw an individual change. We were talking about industries try to grow, like, the same grain of the same strain of rice, like, all across the country, and we all try to eat the same type of rice, but that's not what the world was meant for. So if you stick to the agriculture that is, like, native to your community, it's more sustainable. It doesn't create as large of a carbon footprint, just because you're not trying to ship this one, like, strain of Japanese rice to all across the globe. So eating locally was a big topic of the COP. And eating, like, it's so niche, but it really amazed me. Like, they gave us these chips to try that were made out of, like, some very small, like, localized grain, and it was great. And it didn't have as large, like, carbon footprint. It didn't have such a large carbon footprint because they weren't trying to ship it worldwide. It was specifically for a region it was native to. And I thought that was something that I was like, wow, this is so true. Like, we shouldn't all be trying to eat the same exact thing. It's not what it was made for.
Right. Yeah. Well, then you see those signs and it's like, oh, locally grown. And you're like, oh, that's just so expensive. Mm-hmm. So organic. But it makes a difference, clearly.
It's so crazy. Like, that's not really something that I, you know, think about in terms. I mean, again, I'm in global econ right now, so I'm thinking a lot about, like, globalization.
Dr. Beaver.
Right? Yeah. Shout out.
I didn't take her class. I keep hearing such good things.
So good.
The best. Okay.
So good.
Anyways.
But, you know, just, like, the topic of globalization has just been on my mind this semester because I've been in this class. And so something like that where, you know, because of things like that, or, I mean, who knows what else, there's kind of been a trend of, like, everyone wants the same sort of rice or the same products, and that not flowing with, like, sustainable practices is not something that I'm, you know, like, I don't think about that when I'm like, oh yeah, like, we're shipping all these products out to the whole world. It's like, eventually people are going to catch on to them and want the same stuff, and it doesn't flow well with, like, the way that the world is supposed to work, you know? So it's a really interesting. Yeah, that's awesome.
And even with the rise of social media and TikTok, more, like you said about, oh, go get this one lip gloss. Like, that happens for every. Have you guys seen those boxes where it's like, oh, trying American snacks or trying Japanese snacks or whatever, and they're just shipped from across the world. Mm-hmm. And it's like, if every single person gets that, talk about just the least sustainable way to do things ever. That is crazy.
Yeah.
So you were talking a little bit about a club that you're starting on campus.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So the group that I went to the COP28 with is called the Christian Climate Change Observers. And they're a coalition of, like, different NGOs that are in support of climate change. And so when I came back, I was like, we need a group to go to the COP, like, from our school, because I was saying we met some students there that were from Harvard, and they every year they got badges. And those badges I'm discussing are the ones that get you into the blue zone, into these important conversations. And and so when I got back, I was just thinking, like, I went with a girl named Anna Stevens. Shout out to Anna. So we founded the club together, and we're just trying to get badges for Pepperdine students so that even after we leave, Pepperdine can have delegates. Like, they don't have to fill out the paperwork again. And we can just automatically have people go, because I think especially with the location of our university, like, we are seeing climate change, like, firsthand, and I would love for people to be able to go and advocate for the changes that they were going to see. And so that's what we're doing. It's called the Pepperdine Climate Observers Program. We have an Instagram. It's at Pepperdine, PCOP, P-C-O-P.
Calling it right now.
Yeah. 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 So good.
So yeah, Professor Pal Fabulous is our sponsor. There we go.
Come on.
Yeah, and so we're not having any more meetings this year. Our co-founder is abroad right now, but we really are trying to have people like connect it with internships and just getting to know a lot more about like climate change and advocating for it on campus, as well as getting to go to the COP.
That's so cool. I think it's awesome that you guys came back from this experience and wanted to implement something that not only lasts while you guys are at Pepperdine, but like way farther, you know, and for future students at Pepperdine. That's super cool.
Yeah. I do this club called Pepperdine Ambassadors Program, and we were at dinner at the Gash's house, and we even like talked to him about potentially getting funding for people to get to go, like if we get the badges. So we just really wanted to make it where there's no obstacles for people to be able to attend the COP, because it needs to be like equal opportunity for all voices to truly be heard. So
definitely. That is so exciting. Well, do you have any advice for students who are more interested in not only your club, but just getting involved in sustainability in general?
I think we kind of put like a barrier around it sometimes when we're like talking about sustainability, like it's a niche subject or something. And I don't think it has to be that. We went with a group that's focused on Christianity. And I think sustainability really happens at home. And when you think about it, I think that we were given like a duty to kind of take care of our world. Like the Lord gave us the world to be good stewards of it. And I think just conceptualizing that it's kind of our duty, like take care of the world that you were given. I think that's the biggest part. So one step at a time, like no one's asking you to go do like a whole beach cleanup, but like thinking about maybe I shouldn't like buy this whole chicken today or something, like, you know, right. Things that are simple as that. That would be my first step. And then you can take it from there. There's so many resources, like in terms of globalization, like you can get on TikTok and there's 50 people trying to do the exact same thing as you and connecting with them. Like people are so open in the space, I feel like, to talking about ways that they've figured out to reach the goals that they were trying to reach. Like that was one of the best things about COP. You were not having to reinvent the wheel. Like there's something that you saw that you wanted to do, and somebody from like a different region of the country was like, oh, well, I wanted to do the same thing, and this is the way I did it. And being able to talk to people like that, I think that's great.
Yeah, I think that's such a good point, because it's like when it comes to initiatives on campus or any kind of like passion project or whatever it is, I think there is sort of this like pressure of like, okay, I need to figure out like how to do this like so original and like no one's ever done it before or whatever to draw people in. But it's like that's not true at all. It's like, you know, like take part in things, right? Like take part in things that work and that you've seen work in other parts of the country, and take advice from those people. That's awesome. Yeah. And like learn from how they did it, and it'll translate to the other side of the country.
Exactly. Yeah. So cool. Well, thank you so much for being on this episode. It was a great time talking to you and learning more about what you got to experience.
Yes, we so appreciate it. And please reach out to her with any COP questions or like club questions.
Right,
like,
follow the Insta.
Follow the Insta for real.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
All right, guys. Bye.
Bye.